Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pony Sync for the 17th of August. How y'all doing? We've got an agenda from Sean. I'm the honorary Sean today. So let's start at the top with Pony Bench, which is RFC 7. So I think we're just looking for an up-down on this now. Joe, Theo's not here today. Do you have any comments you want to put on this?
Let me take a quick look. I didn't see that there were there was an update since my last comment.
No update since your last comment. But what I'm saying is, Theo put on the ready for vote. So I'm sort of wondering if we should just go ahead and vote on it.
Right, I'm just saying I want to take one quick look at the last change that he made so that I know whether I'm ready to vote yes or not.
Sorry.
Okay, so yeah, I still not wild about the name Async for the async benchmark when the name for the synchronous benchmark is bench. But I mean, there's
I see. I had missed that. I'm not wild about that either. I'm especially not wild about that because I may be proposing a new language level feature that might want the keyword async that we can talk about also on this call. Although I kind of hate that as a keyword, but anyway.
Okay, well, if we both have reservations about that, perhaps we should just vote no and then say that in the... it's just sort of a temporary no, I guess.
Right. So it's apply for synchronous.
No, it's bench.
I don't think so. Line 16... the RF of the .md.
Oh, so it's right. Sorry. Uh huh. Yeah, I was looking at the line 25 through 32 and getting confused. Yeah, it's apply.
Yeah. Huh. Other than that, it looks pretty good to me. I guess.
Well, should we accept it with async and then? Some point, if we have a language feature, we can just go back and change it.
Go back and break the hell out of it. Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay, upvote.
All right, so should I just merge it then? I'll leave a comment.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so I'm going to merge it.
Go for it.
Done. Okay, excellent. Let's go for 22, which is the object copying idiom extension. So, any comments on this? Joe, Benoit?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm generally in favor.
Yeah, I rather like this one. The one thing I would say is that we may extend this at some point because we can do have an array.isolate function that can produce an isolated array with the correct reference capabilities, which I mentioned on IRC just a little while ago, but I think we've discussed previously actually. But it's good as is. So I think we should go ahead and merge it.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right, cool. Here we go. Excellent. All right. PR 1096. Making linking more dynamic. I'm afraid I haven't had a chance to look at many of these. Yes, I see. So this is the fix for the thing where he thought he could guess, but now he's doing it by explicitly setting a link architecture and a linker. That's very good, I think.
Yeah, the guessing caused another problem, and sure. Yeah, it explicitly sounds nice to me. Yeah. If this looks good to you, I'm fine with it.
All right. Awesome. It does look good to me. I really hope I'm not going to screw it up like last time I merged it, but we're going to do it anyway. All right, here we go. Squash and merge.
We've got git revert.
Yep. Git revert is our friend. All right, 1098. Example code. Everybody loves example code. Oh, darn it. Conflicts that must be resolved. All right, I'm just going to add a note. The example code looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, and there was also the thing about it doesn't really need a changelog entry.
That's true.
Which Sean mentioned, and I confirmed, but I guess Andrew hasn't gotten around to just to fixing it up. So I'm sure he can do the merge conflicts when he does that.
I'll just ping him on here. All right, because that does look, example code. Everybody likes example code. All right, PR 1106. Okay, it looks like everything I would have said the first time I read this, you guys covered.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it since he fixed up the interface so that it matches the original, which is what Sean's request was.
Right.
It seems like JSON doc still doesn't quite match the original, but let's see if that's what Sean was asking about. Okay.
I'm glad you noticed that, because I didn't notice that.
Okay, wow. JSON.string should match object array.string.
By catching getting an indent, which before it didn't have.
Right.
So I think that's okay. Purpose.
Right. Okay. So it looked good before he made that change when I went through it kind of with a finer comb.
Okay.
So if the tests are passing, I say we go for it.
Done. Merged. All right. 1113. Boy, we've got a few on here. Oh, this is the do not merge. This is down to me, I think. Is this down to me? Oh, no, this is a different one. This is a different do not merge.
Yeah, I think this comes back to larger questions of the role of strings and arrays, of array U8, that is.
Right. Indeed it does. This is safe to do.
Right. But I think it's a question of...
In the long run, I think this is wrong. Because yeah. We want to go with the counted strings that you want to do. And there's probably some better API for this. I hate having the reference capability in the name.
Yeah, me too. That was the same thing. Yeah. We just talked about it in IRC. Because, yeah, especially when the reference capabilities... They're supposed to drop away at compile time.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to... Yeah.
I mean, that's a naming issue. And I think over time, we're going to have a better story for how string and array U8 interact with each other, which we don't have right now. I'm tempted to merge this anyway. After all that.
I'd be wary of it with the do not merge and the...
Yeah, you're right. Okay. So let's I'll add a few comments.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to how it relates to trim, unfortunately, like so you said, yeah, trim is a good way to share the pointer. Well, so okay, hang on. Why is he not doing dot C string and from C string? Because from C string takes a pointer ref.
Yeah.
Right. That whole memory safety stuff.
Funny thing that.
Yeah.
Darn memory safety. Yeah, and this lets him explicitly reuse it because at this point that thing will only be available as a tag to any other holder of that array, so its contents won't be available, so it's safe to effectively move the contents into the string.
Yep. Yeah, it makes sense. I wish we didn't need it, and like you said, we'll have a better story later, but I kind of agree with you that for now, until we have a better story with string, for now we need something like that, and not wild about the name, but maybe we can come up with a better one.
Okay.
If that's essentially what you were going to say.
That's totally, you nailed it. Much better than I was going to say it. All right, left comment. But will not merge so that we can actually discuss the name and such. And you're right. If I ever say let's merge it when it says do not merge, please tell me just to not do that. Wasn't someone rewriting the options thing?
Was it Sequin?
I think it might have been Carl. Yeah. Okay, let's have a look at his example code. And arg slice 2. I'm confused about where he's using options in his example. Parsing and slicing are the command line arguments, but where's the parsing? That doesn't use options, so I must be looking at the wrong thing. And the other ones are 404. I think I'm not in a position to judge this one at this point. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I don't know. My first thought was, well, we already have a public constructor to create a fake end.
Uh-huh.
But that requires you to, I was just looking at it, it requires you to give a standard in, standard stream,
indeed,
a bunch of stuff that you're not really using in the options package. So
maybe the core, well, other than the fact that options is an unfortunate package and needs some love, maybe the core problem there is that options shouldn't take an env.
Does it use the environment variables or any other part of the env? I mean, I could see options package, you know, possibly taking like a combination of environment variables and command line arguments, but I don't see it doing that, I don't think.
Yeah, me neither. No, it literally goes through env.args.values.
Yeah, so maybe that's
the core problem.
Yeah, and just make options take an array of strings. But of course, that's somewhat contrary to what Sean was arguing in the conversation. Oh, no, wait, he said that at the end. Options shouldn't necessarily take an env at all, and we could have a class which extracts args from env, which could be used by options. Although, I would argue we don't need a class to extract args from env, because
just pass env.args.
Yeah. So, all right, I'll just
to say that there's nothing
comment there that says, if they're talking about the sync call, we think that env should just take an array of strings instead.
I think that's so. Fair. Yeah. Yeah, I think options should just take an array string and be done with it. Because I see why he wants to do it, for sure. Like, his use case, now that I understand what I'm looking at, makes total sense. I just wanted to test it, right? Like, go away.
Yeah, or for the example of, you know, if you just have some test cases that you want to run and see how the options package parses it.
Indeed. Okay, so let's say that. Let's say we like the idea of the change, but it should be that. Do you want to leave the comment?
Yeah, I'm leaving right now.
Awesome.
For whatever it's worth, I think I'm going to call it in the comment that this doesn't need an RFC because it's a principle of least privilege bug.
You're right.
The options shouldn't be getting the full env anyway. It's a principle of least privilege thing.
Absolutely. Stop that, options. Stop asking for ambient authority via the environment.
Yeah, why do you want to know my standard env? What business is it of yours?
Okay, so it looks like 11:19 is actually in progress. Theo is flying to Hong Kong. Sounds pretty cool. But is working on it. So we'll skip 11:19, although it looks like it's nearly there and a very, 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 very good change. So we'll go on to 11:20. Ooh. 11:20 is very nice. Very interesting. Excellent use of the hash map. Well, this is just a huge win. Has anyone else looked through 11:20? It's gorgeous.
I looked at the premise of it. It sounds great.
It is great. If there's no complaints, I will merge this.
Please Benoit, do.
Benoit, you on the call? I think he is. Well, if you are, yes, he is. This is brilliant. I love this. This is great. Merging. Very, very nice. Okay. 11:22. Ooh. Dual pivot quick sort.
So, I mean, I would say that there's sort of a general procedural question here of, like, whether this should go through RFC, but at the same time, there's not a lot to discuss here. It's a single public method.
Yep. On its type. Let's see, what package are we putting this? Collections. I think that's the correct package. Sorts a sequence. And it sorts it in place, as it darn well should. Yeah, I don't really think we need an RFC for this, to be honest. It's very much the best algorithm for the job, and it's very much a missing algorithm in the package.
Okay.
What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, I like to have good, like, non-subjective guidelines for making that sort of decision, but
okay.
At the same time, it's a simple thing. I just don't necessarily, I don't know. I don't want some people to feel like they got gypped because they had to go through an RFC when I don't know. It's a complicated thing, but at the same time, it's a simple interface change.
Yeah.
So if you want to merge it, that's fine with me.
Okay. I think you're right, though, about the principle, and yet I still want to merge it. So I'm not sure what the right thing is to do there. I want to have a quick look at our RFC stuff.
I mean, it could be that we amend our RFC process to take for changes that
I don't really want to amend it. I think it's really good as it is. So I think if we're talking about amending it for this case, then I'm pushing too hard for this case. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, well, I just wonder if there's a sort of...
I guess the only argument I would make for this case is under the principle of least surprise bug, that a collections API without sort is a principle of least surprise problem. And if you don't agree, then we'll put it through RFC. Because I can't... Everything else there...
Yeah, I mean...
You're right that it says we will add more rules to our list of items that don't need an RFC.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just... The thing I was going to throw out there was just the idea of maybe if somebody throws up a PR and somebody asks for it to be made an RFC, mm-hmm. then it needs to be. Otherwise, there are some PRs which could otherwise... Like, if there's enough general agreement...
Right.
To the initial concept, maybe it can skip the RFC. But if somebody requests for it to be made an RFC, then it has
to. It has to be.
I don't know.
I think that's pretty reasonable.
Can I just say something about this one?
Please.
Cool. So the only thing is the sort uses a sequence of B, but a sequence is quite a restrictive thing when it's in place. So for example, you know, my vectors, they don't have some of the constructors needed for sequence. So you wouldn't be able to use this sort on one of my vectors or something that didn't have all the methods of seek.
Now that is an excellent comment. Nice one, Luke. Yeah, seek is restrictive. What are we actually using out of this thing? Size, of course. And apply.
For whatever it's worth, it used to be using array, so it was more restrictive before Benoit asked for it to be made seek.
Right. I think we can make this vastly less restrictive by saying it's something that only needs size applied and update. Nothing else is needed.
And Vector has all those three, right?
Yeah, Vector has all
of them. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. All right.
Do we need a new interface in our built-in or standard library?
It can just go right in there with sort, which is sortable.
Oh, yeah. It just seems like a size, apply, and update seems like a good general purpose interface that other packages might want to use, though.
You're right. That's a good point. I'm just having a quick look at where do we define those. No, it's only in Seek. All right, Luke, can you leave a comment about weakening the interface?
Yep, can do.
And also something about that interface being, you know, useful to lots of things.
So, I mean, here's a question. A lot of, I remember, where was it? Is it an array or string where I remember seeing methods that say do nothing but be compatible with Seek?
I think it's probably list.
List, right. Yeah. So it makes me wonder whether, well, it makes me want to sort of do an audit of where Seek is used currently in the standard library.
And whether we can take the non-useful things out.
Yeah, whether we can make Seek a much more general interface.
Yeah.
That, but I mean, it's if we do that, it would possibly break user code who is depending on Seek to be this specific, but
we're totally okay with breaking user code. We are pre 1.0.
You do it all the time.
We do it all the time.
but yeah, it kind of makes me wonder whether Seek should be that, you know, apply, update size.
Yeah. Possibly, especially since, possibly values that you want to be able to iterate over it. And then things that would change the size of the Seek, like truncate, concat, append, shift, unshift, pop, push, clear, reserve, are for some kind of resizable Seek.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, even create would go on something else, because the idea that it's for len elements. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it seems like, yeah, resizable Seek, and then also things like append, wouldn't be applicable to vector because the vector has a fixed size.
Indeed.
So, dynamic Seek, perhaps, I don't know.
Oh boy, the word dynamic. but yes, something along those. Dino-seek. definitely not that.
Yeah, this sort of change is getting far outside the bounds of the scope of this PR, though.
Right. I think for this one, we should just concentrate on it. This is the minimal interface it needs, so let's make sure it uses that interface. And then we'll worry about the other stuff as a separate thing. Maybe, in fact, Joe, can you open an issue for minimizing the Seek interface and figuring out where it's used and how we can minimize it?
Yeah, I'll open that. I mean, I wonder if maybe, if that's the plan, if the plan is to minimize the Seek interface so that it's compatible with Vector,
yeah,
then it's possible we don't need to amend this PR at all, since by the time we get around to merging Vector in,
Seek will
have a compatible Seek.
You are right.
But I will open that ticket.
Okay, cool. So, excellent. Open that ticket, and then I guess we can you leave a comment on here saying that we're going to use Seek because we're going to minimize it to make it compatible with Vector, and then we merge this?
Sure.
Awesome. Merge it at your leisure.
All right, I'll do that in a bit. I file the other ticket.
Cool. 1124 is actually a George issue, whether George knows it or not.
Hello.
Hello. Did you have a look at 1124?
I did.
So, the thing about it is, of course, we could allow up to, we could allow 0 or 1 isolated recoveries along with N immutable recoveries. Well, no.
No, that's not true at all.
That is not true. That was me lying.
Latent lie, yes.
It's an isolated recovery or a collection of immutable recoveries.
Yeah. Or some variation thereof. Yeah. Yeah.
On the other hand, this fixes a gaping hole in the type system.
Yeah.
Found by George, in case anyone is curious. And I'm tempted to merge it now and worry about making it more permissive later.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. Since I would assume if somebody's already using this, they're probably using it wrong to begin with. So,
yeah.
Well, we're talking about recovery of tuples.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like, I don't know, it seems pretty likely to me that somebody is using recovery of tuples in a way that is safe, but maybe that's naive. I don't know.
Yeah.
The easy alternative would be to make it so that recovery of tuples just gave back the capability inside the recovery. So it's not doing any recovery whatsoever, but then you can use it in a union or anything like that without the entire union becoming unrecoverable.
Ah, speaking of which, let me just double check that this does what we think it does in control.c, because I suspect it doesn't. Because that is some tricky to code, and it's a good thing you pointed it out. Yes, this doesn't do what it needs to do. Have a look at the context around that, George. It's directly checking if the type is a tuple type, which of course...
Doesn't check it deeply enough.
Does not check it deeply enough.
Yeah. So yeah, it needs to be a bit more strict than that.
Okay.
But then again, there's a whole range of things you could potentially do to fix it. Don't know which one's the best or anything like that.
Yeah. I'll leave a comment. All right. I just left a comment. George, have a look at that and see what you think.
Yeah, something like that. I'll probably make a comment on the issue that it's got reference to.
Okay.
And then make more detail on that.
Okay, excellent. And George, actually, you would be perfect for taking this and running with it. Take... Benoit's initial implementation, which is the right thing. He's done the right thing, only, you know, it's just slightly more complicated. So do you want to take it over? George?
I could have a look at it. I should probably build Pony for a change, but yeah.
Excellent. All right. 1128. Oh, this is going to be another lovely Benoit change. I can tell already. It is. How nice. Yep, this is great. I realize that the Benoit changes sometimes leave other people slightly baffled, but it is good. It's excellent. I'm going to merge
baffled
this one.
And excited.
Baffled and excited. Good. That's a good combination. It's great. So let's merge this one straight away. All right. 11:30.
Someday I want to understand all this LLVM stuff, but I'm not there yet.
I would never claim to understand all of the LLVM stuff. Ah, yes, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? Hooray. So does everyone see what the fix is? If the type doesn't exist, then we certainly shouldn't be trying to alias it as a type. Instead, we should bail out.
Makes sense.
I'm just going to merge this one.
Benoit, you could have felt, I don't know if you saw that Theotis responded to your change, but if you wanted to, you could have merged this too after you made the change, but that's up to you.
Yep. You're definitely allowed to merge, Benoit.
Okay.
Merged. All right. We have gone through the list and I'm impressed by the speed at which we did so, because we literally have some minutes left, which I did not think was going to happen. Is there anything anyone wants to bring up?
Let's hear about this fancy async thing. That sounds like it's probably the thing that I always explain to people why Pony shouldn't have trying to cover us. But let's hear what it is.
Okay, so... it goes like this. If you have some class, some synchronous object, and you want to be able to have it be informed by some other actor than the one that holds a reference to it about an event or a state change or anything really, then you need to change the API of the actor with a reference to it to include some call that will then be able to go and find the object and apply whatever change it is. Does that make sense so far?
Oh, yeah. I ran into that a ton when I was working on the ZeroMQ implementation.
Exactly. Exactly. So to give a little background, I have been thinking about this problem for about 2 years. And the problem that I saw was I couldn't see a way to have an asynchronous lambda and guarantee that the thing that we put in that asynchronous lambda that will then be operated on, guarantee that the actor whose context we're going to run that asynchronous lambda in still is the logical dominator of that object. In other words, what if we were in a recover block and so we put some ref into this async lambda, but then we recovered as an ISO, consumed it, and sent it to some other actor, and now we run an async lambda on the first actor, modify the thing, but uh-oh, the other actor is currently modifying it as well. Disaster. And I couldn't come up with a way to prove that we were the dominator. And this morning, I came up with a way to prove that we're the dominator.
Do you prove it with the Orca protocol stuff?
No, we prove it at compile time using reference capabilities, because of course we do. Which is that in order to use an actor as a context, if we require that we have a ref to that actor instead of a tag, then we are also guaranteeing that we're not in a recover block, which is subtle but interesting.
Right, and all these places where you need to do this, like in TCP connection, the example I kept running into, where you don't control the TCP connection actor, but you do have a ref to it, makes perfect sense.
Exactly. So then we could have some system, have a way to say, okay, I want an async lambda in this context, which must be a ref, and here are its arguments, which must be sendable, and here are the things that it captures, which don't have to be sendable, right? How fun is that? And pass this thing around, and it's a tag object because it's asynchronous. So you can share it around, invoke it at will, and essentially you allow a class to extend the API of its contextual actor, but in a capability secure way. So only those to whom you have passed the lambda can use the extended API.
So it's like you're passing around a lambda behavior.
Exactly. Exactly. And it only has the ability to do this because you have the ref to the actor. So you're not really changing the actor, you're just providing a way in, if that makes any sense. So, implementation-wise, the tricky bits are, number one, there will be a new reserved message ID, if we do this, in actor.h. So there'll be one that's uint32max-7, which is an actor message lambda, because it'll be the same... basically, you don't have a vtable for this on actors. You don't have a vtable for this behavior. It'll be handled by magic under the hood. And the other one is, I'll have to think about how to make sure to do the GC correctly, because anything captured in that lambda needs to be traced, but the lambda is a tag, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I can see why that might cause problems.
So that's going to be a little bit interesting. And of course, then there's the actual hardest part, which is how to name the thing.
So should it possibly just be like a modifier on our current lambda syntax?
It might, well, yeah, maybe. So what it needs one more piece of information than a current lambda, which is the actor that is in whose context to run it. And it needs some way to distinguish it from a normal lambda, or although perhaps maybe providing that extra bit is that, I'm not sure.
Right, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Although then we would also want to say, no, well, I guess there's no reason. I was thinking it must always be a tag. I guess it wouldn't have to always be a tag, but it seems senseless to make it anything but.
Well, and it's also, right now the lambda syntax is currently sort of complicated by the fact that you've got a way to specify the RCAP on the lambda syntax, but that's defining the RCAP of the
method,
the receiver capability of the method, and not
the object itself.
Yeah.
And what we want really is for this thing, for the apply method to be tag and the object itself to be tag, because it's asynchronous.
Right.
Okay. So, I'll open an RFC on this one. If you guys think this is non-crazy.
Yeah, that's I think that would be a great selling point. And
excellent.
I'm sort of glad it's not what I thought you were going to talk about. Like I was assuming you were going to talk about the async await keywords that everyone asks about when they come to Pony.
I hate those. I don't think I don't think those are, I mean, don't get me wrong, I may be at some point convinced that that isn't as crazy as I think it is, but I currently remain convinced that that's crazy and no one should do that.
I just thought it was funny because I got so used to fielding questions of people saying, you know, oh, why doesn't Pony have this feature? And me saying, you know, these reasons why it shouldn't have the feature. And yes. Then I thought you were going to look around on me and say, okay, we're adding the feature.
No, not yet. I haven't betrayed you yet.
But yeah, I think we might want to avoid the async keyword just for that reason. Although if it's within the context of a Lambda, it'll probably won't be as confusing.
Yeah.
But maybe adding, I mean, what I'm thinking right now is something adding the word B somewhere in there, since we've already got B as keyword.
Uh-huh. That's true. That's very interesting.
Or maybe it's even just like the squished together word Lambda B.
Lambda B. Lambda B. Yeah. It could be Lambda, new word, and then an optional B and a context expression that gives hands you back an actor ref, followed by all the normal Lambda stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I think something like that would make sense. Could even be, yeah, like just to make it simple, like, yeah, B parentheses, then your context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'm ridiculously pleased with the idea of pulling this one off, because it has annoyed me greatly that objects can't extend actor APIs in a capability secure way. And hopefully, and if this doesn't turn out to be wrong, we'll be able to do that now.
Yeah, and I'm glad you came up with this before I rewrote the 0MQ implementation, because now I can do it using this.
Excellent. All right. Anyone else have any commentary on that one? Not fast. Fair enough. We have literally minutes left. Anything else? Anyone else want to go over?
Yes. Could we go over issue 1083?
1083, yes. Oh, dear. Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't seen this before. Ah, that is indeed problematic. Okay, you're right. This needs to change.
I think I have an idea on how to change that. So okay. Should I go for it?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
Let me just leave a quick comment that you're absolutely right. Let me so I'm going to mark this as a bug. Shall we put it as under investigation? What do you think, Benoit? Under investigation, ready for work?
Ready for work, I think.
Okay, great. And I'm assigning you, which is great. Okay, yeah. Oh, nice catch. Thank you. Yeah, that's going to produce quite drastically wrong code under some circumstances. Okay. Anything else we should cover? All right. Seems like we're pretty much done then, with literally minute to spare. Fantastic. As usual, thank you everybody very much, and see you next week.